There's a message vital question that each of us asks, and we must have the right answer. It is absolutely imperative that we have the correct answer to these all-important questions. Is God a person? Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When you and I pray, do we pray to a person? We must be sure that God is a person if our prayers are to be effective. We have had to have talk, and that question is answered according to the Word of God. Yes, God is a person. Today, we're going to continue that heart-to-heart talk, answering two questions. Is Jesus a person? What would be your answer? If I were to face you and ask you the question, is Jesus Christ a person? What is your conception of Jesus? I probably would get many answers. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The hardest proposition the infidel has gotten up against is to account for Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, "His name shall be called Wonderful," and there's no better name to describe him. He's wonderful. For he is the world's one great wonder. No one else ever approached him. He is in a class all by himself. I don't care what your conception of Jesus might be, what your idea of Jesus might be. There's one thing that you have to agree upon, and that is the fact that Jesus is in a class all by himself. He has no second. No man ever uttered such wonderful teaching. It was so simple that the common people heard gladly, and yet so profound that no philosopher ever found it their lips. He never wrote a sermon. He never published a book. He found it no college to perpetuate his doctrines, but handed them down to a few poor and humble fishermen. Yes, you'll have to agree. He's in a class all by himself. And yet, his teaching has endured for more than 2,000 years. It's been translated in every language under the sky. And it has so transformed human life that whole nations, entire nations, have been lifted out of darkness and degradation by its power. And before this humble Galilean pest, oh, this is glorious. And who dare not agree that never spake man like this man? And then no man ever lived such a wonderful life. He backed up what he said by the way he lived. He was there with the goods. He never had to ask God to forgive his sins because his character was perfect. His enemies watched him like a hawk. And the very worst thing that they could say about him was that he did good on the Sabbath and that he let a sinful woman come near enough to him to touch the hem of his garment. He was born, of course, in a given race, in a given age. He had to be. But he utterly transcended his age and his race and became the ideal of every age, the ideal of every race. How are you going to account for Jesus Christ? If he was only a man, then by every law of evolution and progress, this 20th century ought to produce a better one, intellectually and morally. This is so, you have to agree. And yet the world has never produced one who was on a par with Jesus Christ, even though you accept him just as being mere man. Surely in this kind of century, we should be able, because of our culture and our scientific discoveries, and we've grown so intellectually, we should be able today to have produced a man who was at least on a par with Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with it? All right. I want you to see something, though, that is more important than even his perfection. I use this as an example. So there is no salvation. There is no regeneration. Just through a person who is perfect and near perfect. There is only salvation through deity and divinity. Jesus Christ is a person. And thousands upon thousands will bear witness to that fact. But he has to be more than just a person. For it is something more than just a person to be our great high priest. Seated at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession. Before Jesus went away, he said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to leave you my name. And after I'm gone, you can use my name on all the checks that you cash before the Father's throne. Now, you know, if I would say to you, I'm going away now. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to heaven. Now, when you have a need, and you come before God's throne, you just use my name and sign my name on all of your checks at the Bank of Heaven. And you say, God the Father, I have a check here, and it's to the account of Cass and Kuhlman. God the Father would turn and say, my goodness alive. Oh, I know Cass and Kuhlman. Sure, she's my child. That's wonderful. Oh, sure, and she's here. Oh, yes, she's here, and I'll tell you right now, she better be there, too. But, he says, you see, he was a sinner saved by the grace of God. There's only one name that opens the bank of glory. And that one is my only begotten son. The word that was made flesh and dwelt among men and women on earth. You must see Jesus in a greater degree than just being a wonderful example. This got to be more, or he could not to be in position of great high priest. He could not be our great advocate. He could not be there now living to make intercession for you and for me. When he went away, he said, I leave you my name. Use my name. And when you come before the throne of God, a holy, powerful God, You can come before his throne and say, in Jesus' name, in the name of your only begotten Son, I come. And it's at the very moment that he used my name, my Father would bless you. Oh, to me that wonderful, that glorious. Jesus is a person, but he's more than just a person. He is the very Son of the living God. Oh, ask Peter. Ask Peter, and he'll give you the answer. He was there, you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, with John, with James. They saw Jesus in a different light than thousands had seen him as Jesus walked before the Galilee. And Peter gives the account. Second Peter, the first chapter. And this is what Peter says. For we have not followed cunningly the devised fables, when he made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are eyewitnesses of his glory. We were eyewitnesses. We're not just following cunningly devised fables. We know. We saw him in a different light than the thousands that he fed after breaking the loaves and the fish. We saw him. We were eyewitnesses of his glory. We can bear witness the fact that he is all that he said that he was. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. We heard. Peter said, we not only saw, we heard. When we were with him in the Holy Mount. It is also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day shall arise in your heart. Oh, you could never argue with Peter regarding the fact that Jesus was divine, deity, divinity. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and we heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. No man, no woman can ever bear witness that they were not sure that Jesus was more than mere man, because God the Father himself made it known to all men of all generations when he spoke and said, I leave no doubt as to who Jesus is. This is my beloved Son. You are Gentile. This is my beloved Son. The God of Abraham said, this is my beloved Son. The God of Moses said, this is my beloved Son. The God of Elijah said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Is the Holy Spirit a person? Now that's something to answer. Is the Holy Spirit? One of these days, I'm going to take the entire broadcast time and just talk about the Holy Spirit. For as surely as God is a person, as surely as Jesus is a person, The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is a person. Oh, I wish I could bring those witnesses. I wish I could bring Samson. I wish I could bring David. I wish I could bring some of the saints from the Old Testament dispensation. Oh, wouldn't I love to bring Paul and say, Paul, is the Holy Spirit a person? And oh, he said, I'll tell you he's a person. I was on the road to Damascus, going to the synagogue, and something happened. He said, as I journeyed, suddenly there shone around about me a light from heaven. It was so powerful. It was so tremendous. I fell to the earth. Oh, he said, I'll tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost is real. The person of the Holy Spirit is real. Those in the day of Pentecost. Ask those in the house of Cornelius. Ask those in the early church. Said the Holy Spirit was a person. Ask those who had been baptized with the Holy Ghost today whether he is a person. But you say, have you ever seen the Holy Ghost? No. Neither have I seen God. Neither have I seen Neither have I seen the Holy Ghost. But neither have I ever seen the wind. And if I were to say to you that I cannot accept the reality of the wind because I've never seen the wind, you would question my mentality. Just take the words of Jesus. So simple a little child can understand. And yet so profound that no man can fully fathom the depth of his work. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind bloweth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but no man has ever seen the wind. You and I see the effect of the wind. Oh, let me tell you, we have seen the strength, the power of the wind. Ah, we have felt the gentle breeze of the wind against our feet. But no man can bear witness the fact that he has ever seen the wind. I have not seen the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Ghost, but I have seen the effect of the power of the Holy Ghost. And there are thousands who can bear witness to the fact that literally that unseen person, that unseen power of the Holy Spirit has filled their vessel, their body with himself. There are thousands who can bear witness to the fact that the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon their bodies and they were healed by his power and his person is real.
That concludes this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. For information about thousands of helpful messages such as this one, available for lending on a free or voluntary donation basis, write to us at the Springs of Living Water Tape Library, Post Office Box 32636, Spring Lake Park, Minnesota 55432. Your prayerful and financial support of this ministry is also welcome and greatly appreciated. Thank you, and God bless you. Please fast forward this tape to the end for its next listening.